Amen, amen. So, number two, y'all haven't ran me off yet, so we're about to go ahead and get started, all right? Now, if any of you all know me, I have, my wife and I, we have two daughters and one little kid on the way. Let me pause real quick. Dennis and I were on the radio earlier this week. Wasn't it like Monday? We were on the radio earlier this week. And Heidi told me, Richard, only tell a select few that you're pregnant. Only tell a select few. And so I'm like, okay. Well, by Dennis's sorcery, out of nowhere on the radio, I tell however many thousands of people that are listening to a radio that we're pregnant. And I'm like, and as soon as it came out of my mouth, you can tell on the radio, I'm thinking, dear God, what have I done? I mean, and so I call Heidi directly after, and I'm like, babe, did you listen to the radio station? Yeah, I did. Did you happen to hear that I told Branson and all of the entire world that we're pregnant? Uh-huh. I love you. I'll rub your feet tonight till you fall asleep. I mean, it was just terrible. What does that have to do with anything? Nothing. Let's go back to what I was talking about. So we have two daughters, Maggie and Violet. And one day, what were we thinking? One day, Heidi and I, we were just doing some work. I think I'm in the garage and Heidi's back there in the room doing something or vice versa, but we're doing much needed work on our house. And we decide, you know, we need the kids distracted so we can do whatever we need to do. And so I think we put on like a show or some toys out for Violet. And Maggie, we gave her a lot of finger paint. Exactly. You parents know, like, what are you thinking? We gave her finger paint, and Heidi took the paper, and she, you know, she taped it to the table and just gave her all of these colors, and we're like, go, have at it. Well, it didn't take like 2 seconds later, and we turn around, and Maggie is covered in paint. Her shirt is off, her pants is off. She is completely naked, and paint is everywhere, not only all over her body, paint is all over the table, paint is all over the walls, on the floor, on her teeth, in her hair. I mean, paint is everywhere. And we're like, kid, who are you, the spawn of Satan? What is going on here, Maggie? You know, and she's just like, ah! She was just having the time of her life. We're like, kid, what is up? Matter of fact, this is what it looked like. Look at that. Look at that. There was paint in every nook and cranny, everywhere. Paint. And look how happy she was. We were not equally that happy, but we couldn't blame her. Oh, I just love that girl so much. But we couldn't, look at that picture. Sorry. We couldn't blame her because we didn't give her proper instructions. I mean, can you blame her? I mean, who gives? I think she was like, what, Heidi, 3 at that time? 2 or 3? I mean, who gives a 2 or 3-year-old finger paint and say, have at it? Go knock yourself out, kiddo. And so we couldn't even punish her. Now, a little deeper meaning in that. Because Maggie at that time needed instruction. And because without me giving her instruction, without me giving her that wisdom, without me giving her that vision, she was bound to look like that. You know, which leads me, if you got your Bibles, we're going to go to Proverbs 29:18. Go to Proverbs 29:18. If you don't have your Bibles, don't worry. We have it here on the screen. Let's go ahead and put that bad boy up there. There we go. Proverbs 29:18 says, oh, the depth of that is not Proverbs 29:18, is it? Is that Proverbs 29:18? How about this? Somebody go to your Bibles, go to Proverbs 29:18. That is 29:18? No? All right, so check this out. I'm going to tell you. I memorized it, I think. It says, without vision, or without prophetic vision, then the people cast off restraint. I'm going to repeat that. Now, without a prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. So what does that mean? First, let's define the word vision. The word vision, the Greek word for that is chazon. And the Greek word for that means divine communication, direction, or marching orders from God. And so the vision, so God is saying, like, look, without my divine orders, without my words, without my direction, without my marching orders, without me giving you the exact direction where to go, without me giving you a map of where I want you to go, then people will cast off restraint. So now we got to think about what does cast off restraint means. And so cast off restraint, the Greek word for that is called para. Para means to loosen, to act sinfully, to dismiss. So let's break this thing. Let's break this thing down, okay? So without direct communication from God, without God giving us his marching orders, without God giving us his direction, then the people will dismiss, the people will act sinfully, they will loosen, they would absolve, the people will die. Now, we think about that. Now, God created us for him. The very reason why we live, and the scripture tells us, in him we live and we move and we have our being, which means that we are created specifically to serve him. We are created for his purposes. And since he is the creator of the world and created for us, and we are created for him, that means that he has to give us direction. And if we don't have that direction, then we will fail. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying right there? Y'all with me? God loves us so much that he tells us where to go, because God doesn't want us to die. Now, since God is our spiritual leader, and he goes, look, I want you all to do whatever I do. And as New Beginnings, as the Church of New Beginnings, but now you're here. And a lot of you all, you know, this is your second week here since, you know, I've been here. So I'm already implying that you accepted me, and you know, I'm being, you know, goofy right now. You've already accepted me as being your pastor, right? And so I am your leader, your spiritual leader whenever it comes to New Beginnings. And so that tells me that you, and tell me if I'm wrong, you all expect me to hear from God and be able to communicate that to you so we can leave, leave this place and impact the world on behalf of God. Am I right? Now, if I'm wrong, please tell me. And if I'm wrong, I don't care. I'm going to do it anyway, okay? You're saying, Richard, what are you doing? Richard, where are you going to lead us? Some of you all may even sit there a little skeptical. Like, man, Dennis has been with us for the longest. Who are you? You're a little crazy. You're new here. What do you got? And let me tell you this. That's 100% healthy. In fact, I expect that. I expect you all. I'm from the Show Me State anyway. I'm not asking you to give me the benefit of the doubt. I'm saying, let me show you. So I'm saying, hey, Richard, where are we going to go? Richard, where is your vision? Richard, what is God communicating to you of what we, New Beginnings, is supposed to do? And it's simply this. My vision for you all, for us, is for the church to be the ecclesia, the ecclesia, the church. And y'all are probably thinking, what on earth is the ecclesia? Anytime that we use the word church here in Christian lingo, I'm about to go to what? I'm about to go to church, you know? Oh, look at that church over there, and we're looking at the building. And I believe that we need to really retrain our I just really think we should retrain the way that we use this word, because in the scriptures, they never, ever referred the church to a building. Never. The church was always a group of people. We are New Beginnings. We don't go to New Beginnings. We are New Beginnings. We attend service. We are the church. And the church is what God uses to impact the entire world. So what is my vision for New Beginnings? My vision for us to be the church to impact the world. In order for us to be the church to impact the world, then we must know our purpose. We gotta know it. As the ecclesia, as the group of people that God is using to impact the world, we must know our God-given purpose. We gotta know it. And by knowing our purpose, it would change the way we think, which changes the way we live. I'm gonna repeat that. As the church, by knowing our purpose, it would change the way that we think, which changes the way that we live. We have to know why we exist. We have to. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? You know, I mean, how on earth? So many people just living life and we're thinking like, why am I created? And whenever you live a life of constantly asking yourself, why am I created, why am I created, why am I created, the harvest is way out there. And what we're doing is just simply paralyzing ourselves to go. We're just sitting there. And God is like, man, reach him, reach her, go there, say this. I need your feet over there. But we're sitting there thinking, why am I here, why am I here, why am I here? And that's exactly what the enemy wants us to do. The enemy wants us to be so selfish and like, oh no, I need to do something. I need to fulfill my purpose. And so what is my purpose? What am I here to do that brings me joy and talents and people can look at me? And God goes, I tell you, I want you to go impact them, the world. We have to know our purpose. And so, ladies and gentlemen, my goal for you, and for us to constantly know our purpose, because then it would change the way we think, which in turn changes the way we live. So you're asking the next question. So what's our purpose? So you're telling me right now we got to know our purpose. Okay, so what's the purpose? I got your purpose in 3 points. First point. Our purpose is to worship God. Our purpose is to worship God. And whenever we're thinking about worshiping God, a lot of the times we think that we come here on a Sunday and then somebody plays the guitar and we hold up our hands, you know, lift up our head and we worship like that. And that's a form of worship. But let's go into a little deeper. Let's go into Romans 11, verses 13 through 36. This is doxology. You're thinking, like, what is doxology? Doxology is pretty much a long word of just saying, you know, a hymn, a song, a short hymn, a short song. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how instructable his ways. His ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Let's just pause right there. You know how beautiful that is. And that just shows you the power of God. How God is so deep. God is so deep. He has all wisdom, all knowledge. There is no way our mind can even conceive his wisdom and his knowledge. He is big. He is powerful. He is beautiful. Nobody can even fathom that. Can fathom his wisdom. Or who has been his counselor? Next slide. Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? God has done it all. There is nothing that we could do to earn our salvation. God has done it all. For from him and through him and to him are all things. God created everything, including us, everything. To him be the glory forever. Amen. And so think about that doxology underneath that light. And so we realize how powerful, how amazing God is, that God is the creator of all, that God is simply beautiful, amazing, all-knowing, all-powerful. Which goes to the next slide, which leads us to Romans 12, 1 through 2. I appeal for you, therefore, because, you know, doxology, because that you're the creator of the world, because you're beautiful, because you're all of this. Therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Because God is so amazing, we need to present ourselves, our bodies, as a sacrifice. We live in daily submission. We live, and everything that we do is a sacrifice, living sacrifice to God. And how do we do that? Next slide. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. How do we present our bodies as a living sacrifice? How do we do these things? We do these things by not being conformed to the patterns of this world. We are not being conformed to the sin. We are setting our mind from things above. We're being transformed by the renewing of our mind. Ladies and gentlemen, we are all created to worship him. The purpose for the ecclesia, the ecclesia, the purpose for the church is to worship him. Our next purpose is for edification. Now, whenever we hear the word edification, we automatically think, to build up. And that's part of it. That's 100% part of it. We are called to build each other up. We are called to encourage one another. I mean, Ephesians 4:29 says that. Ephesians 4:29, it says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. We are called to look at our brothers and sisters as a constantly encourage them. Constantly encourage them. I had a conversation with one of my friends this week. And his name is Chris Brown. He is in Memphis, Tennessee right now. And he ran into somebody at the store. And this man is a man that lives directly in the spirit. This is a man who's madly in love with God and who is very courageous. And God says, go left. He's going to go left. And go right. He's going to go right. And so he led him into this man. And this man, he was just hanging out in the front of the grocery store. And he strikes up a conversation with him. And he's talking with them for the longest. And then, out of nowhere, Chris starts to encourage this man. And this man starts to cry. Chris was like, man, what's going on? You okay? And he goes, nobody's ever really encouraged me like that before. He's a grown man. He goes, nobody ever took the time to say, man, I appreciate you. Or man, you got these giftings. And just to encourage him. Ladies and gentlemen, do not underestimate the power of a good word to your brothers and sisters. That's supernatural. God is using you as an instrument to encourage him. Some folks say, man, I'm waiting to hear a word from the Lord. You don't think when somebody comes up to you and say, hey, I just think that you're a beautiful person. Hey, I mean, I just think that man, you have an amazing voice, or you're a great mother, you're a great father, you work extremely hard. I see your discipline, you're very kind, you're very hospitable. I mean, you don't think that's supernatural? You don't think that's the words of God and God using somebody to impact your heart? It is. And God uses us to do that. As the church, we are called to encourage our brothers and sisters. Can you imagine living a life where there's no encouragement? Oh my goodness, I can't. So we're called to lift each other up. Also, The same in Ephesians 4, we're also called to equip, to disciple. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for the works of the service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Pretty much what that means is we're all, our purpose of the church is to equip the people here. Now, what does that mean? That doesn't mean that we just come on a Sunday or we come on a Wednesday or we come to a men's meeting or a single, you know, women's meeting or whatever, and we just go and then we're like, okay, thank you for the word, and then we just go and just quit. Like, no, we need to have these things downloaded to the USB drive of our hearts, and we need to reteach these things. We need to equip the saints to go out into the entire world to show them this is what it looks like to work. This is what it looks like to fulfill your purpose. This is what it looks like to grind. This is what it looks like just to serve one another. You know, we're called to encourage. As the church, we're called to encourage and we're called to equip every single person. But a lot of times, you know, we sit here and I'm included in this, and I'm talking about the church in general, not just New Beginnings, the church in general. A lot of times, you know, just so many people that would sit in the congregation, and they're like, okay, what you got for me? 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 And they've heard hundreds or thousands of sermons that stops with them. We are called to be the infectious church. If somebody in here had the flu and you would cough in my face, more than likely, I'm going to get the flu. But how many times have we came in the church and we get infected with the gospel and we're quarantining ourselves? That's exactly what the enemy wants you to do. If there was a big, huge epidemic that came out, all right? And Red Cross or whoever comes, you know, and they will identify who has this place, and they and in order for them to keep that at bay, they're gonna quarantine you. We had that at camp. Oh my goodness, we had that at camp one day. So, I'm gonna go there. All right, and so vomiting and other things were happening to a lot of campers and a lot of counselors at camp. I mean, it was an epidemic. It was crazy. I've never seen, okay, it was gross, okay? And the nurses were like, oh my goodness, we have to stop this. And so they were using different parts of camp as a quarantine area. And so we had people sleeping inside of the gym in corners. You know, we had the nurses' station on the guys' and the girls' side filled up. We had certain cabins just dedicated to the sick because we didn't want that to spread everywhere. Think about it. We had kids from Chicago. We had kids from Tallahassee. We had kids from Dallas. You know, we had kids from Missouri. And we had kids from Cincinnati. And they're all right there. Can you imagine? They catch something at camp and they spread it to the world. It's nasty. But at the same time, being that camp guy, that's exactly what I wanted to do. Well, not being sick. But I wanted them to come to camp and be infected with the gospel. And so whatever they caught there, they can go back to Tallahassee. They can go back to Cincinnati. They can go back to St. Louis. They can go back to Dallas and completely spread what they learned at camp. That is exactly what the church is required to do, to be sick and infect everybody. We should be infiltrating every nook and cranny you have access to. Every nook and cranny. Man, y'all about to get loud up in here, all right? Let me stop. A lot of the times we look at somebody like Rachel or myself or Dennis or Brian Duvall or whoever who constantly has the microphone, and we're looking and we're like, okay, they are the ones responsible to equip. Let me tell you our goals as teachers. I want you to take what you know and go and reteach and just impact the world. Lord, forgive me if my goal is to teach and just have them be inspired in them just to go and not say a word. It's the importance of taking notes. It's the importance of listening to the podcast. There's an importance of doing that because we have a duty to do, and that duty is to impact the world. As a church, we're called to worship. As a church, our purpose is for edification. And our third point, as a church, we are called to evangelize. Every saint in here is a saint because of evangelism. Every single one, nobody is excluded from that. You know how special that is? Think about this. When you die, you are going to be with God. I'm just going to let that sink in for a second. Because sometimes we forget in the busyness of life. When you die, you're going to be with God. What we do, who we are, is dedicated to the person that we're going to be spending all of eternity with. And there's people that have no idea who that is or who he is. No idea. And we know their fate. Saints, we know their fate. So as the church, we have to go and tell them. Do not be paralyzed by your own fear. Go, go, go. Scripture go along with that, Matthew 9:37-38. And then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, ask the Lord of the people, ask the Lord of the world, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." We need to constantly be praying that God would not only send us, but send others to wherever place there is that needs to hear the gospel. Ourselves, we need to be prepared. Ourselves, we need to know what we believe and know how to communicate that to somebody else. We need to know. And I'm not saying like with the most eloquent words. If somebody comes to me and they go, "Hey, Richard, what's the gospel?" Let me tell you about the gospel. Because of your sin, which is separation from God, you deserve to be, because of your sin, which is breaking God's laws, breaking God's rules, you deserve to be separated from God forever. But God loves you so much, he doesn't want you to be separated from him forever. And so God sent his son, Jesus Christ, and he lived a 100% perfect life. He didn't sin one time and took your punishment so you wouldn't have to. But that's not it. And so that means that you need to submit to his pursue. That means you need to ask God to forgive you of your sins. And then when that happens, God will take your punishment and you will be with him forever. Bam. That's the gospel in like 30 seconds. Know that. You are the church. And here in 2017, 16, 15, we've been hearing, especially us Christians, we've been hearing bad things about the church. Well, the church ain't doing this. The church ain't doing that. Some of us may even internally may think that the church is ineffective. Let me tell you about the church. Let me tell you how the church is impacting the world. Did you know that the church built the very first hospital? It was the church. It was God's people that looked and there was like, people are sick and they can't provide for themselves. And so we as the church need to look after these people. And so we're going to build the very first hospital, the church. And did you know today that the church is the single greatest, largest health provider? The church is. You think the church is ineffective? The church built the very first and the largest orphanage system in the world. The church did that. God's saints. Because the church, the people who loved God and say, you know what? There's way too many children out there that need a mother and need a father and they need care. And so I'm not going to wait for any government. I'm not going to wait for anybody. We're going to do it. And the church did it. And right now they control the greatest orphanage system in the entire world. Even in education, did you know that the first 100 universities, Princeton, Dartmouth, Harvard, Yale, did you know that the first 100 of the first 110 universities were Christian institutions? The church affects, you know, health. The church infects families. The church infects universities. I say infect for a reason, because they spread. Did you know, men and women, in the U.S., there are over 300,000 churches in the U.S. alone. 300,000. And I'm not saying 300,000 people. That alone is a lot of people. But 300,000 groups of people just in the U.S. alone. But did you know that there are over 50 million groups of people that are madly in love with Jesus all across the world? You think that the church is silent? Do you think that, why? God uses us, the church, ordinary men and women, to do extraordinary things. The word says God uses the foolish things of the world to shame the wise and the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God uses the lowly things and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that there are so nobody may boast before him. If you sit there, it just breaks my heart to think that many of you are sitting there and you're thinking, because of my mistakes, because of my past, because of my money, because of the color of my skin, because whatever, that I'm ineffective. And God is like, you're exactly what I want you to. I created you in those environments. My brother, my sister, I've forgiven you. Go and be the church. Go and impact the world. I look on CNN or Fox News or whatever news outlet, and I just want to weep. And because we're constantly reminded of just the depravity and the sin and the division. But I have to be reminded, I shouldn't think for one second that the church isn't involved. All we have to do is realize our purpose and dive directly in the middle of this chaos. Darkness is the absence of light. I can't bring a ball of darkness anywhere, but I can show up. And that's where light comes from. Men, women, as the ecclesia, we are the light. God will use you. All we got to do is go, step out in faith, deny yourselves, and be the church. Some of you are in here right now. Internally, you're like, okay, I want to be the church. What do I need to do? For one, you can't do anything. God has already done it for you. Submit to his pursuit. Become the church. Submit to his pursuit. Become the church. And you saints, whatever you may be dealing with that may cause division in the church, just deny yourselves. Swallow their pride, eat their crow, and just go to that brother and sister. Talk it out. Do whatever we need to do, because it's much bigger than ourselves. Amen. If you don't know him, we would love to introduce you to the author of the universe. Prayer team, when we can come up, let's pray.